Okay, ready? Everybody settle and action.
Warning, Critique Revolve contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended,
you're one ugly motherfucker. Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, that's great. That's just fucking great, man.
You rub the clothes on the skin, it doesn't even have
any control. Most of the night. Most of the night.
Wow!
There are
Hello, everyone. And welcome to Critique Revolve, and it is the third installment of something, I'm not even sure anymore, of the Oscars, the 98th Academy Awards. Boy, howdy. You know, I think I'd learn over the years between what I'd expect to see and what I'd actually see. I never thought that I'd identify with the meme from Arrested Development where he looks in the bag from the fridge and just says, I don't know what I expected, as much as I have in recent times in my life.
You know what I think we should do next year? Is we should just
take a shot every time.
No, Thomas and I should just not be in the show. And it should just be David.
Because it should be.
David seems to be, he seems to get some type of
tapped in.
And I'm sorry. I'm sorry to, like, to everyone out there.
The weird
channel. He has some type of troll clairvoyance.
Pretty much, yeah. Because I have no faith in Hollywood anymore.
He just looks into that candle flame on the desk right there, and he can scry through the realities and see the future.
Yes, Ryan Coogler. Yes, you will win the best director.
You can open your own fucking psychic booth, but it's like weirdly specific. It's only good one time a year, and it's the Oscars. So if you've listened to the last two installments and you made bets on anything, and one of the many ways to make bets these days, if you went off David's suggestions, you probably raked in a healthy amount of money.
Yeah, if you guys are into those bets now and apps, just listen to David.
He's got it, man. Nailed it. The evening was a weird mix of totally predictable, a couple that were absolutely deserved, a couple snubs as always, and more than I remember in a long time, just absolute cringe segments from the actors, which I tweeted, texted, messaged, whatever the hell it is, to you guys today when we were watching it the other night. Man, it is shocking how professional actors who do so well in the jobs and the roles they're given cannot sell these shitty gag lines in between awards at the Oscars.
Impromptu, improv, those are two different skill sets.
Yes.
And to see your actor you love just look like a fool, enough
it's
with
pain.
It. Fire your PR agents, fire your managers. If they put you in this position, don't do it. Every time these poor actors look incredibly silly, they say jokes that are not funny. They're not delivered the right way. And the crowd doesn't even help them. It's just crickets. At least help out a brother. See them struggling, let's get together and laugh. Where are the fake applause? At least, where's the production from the Oscars? Help these people out with at least fake applause, like they do with late shows.
The Bill Pullman and Lewis Pullman one was pain.
Wow, yeah.
And that was like watching a senile dad give a speech about his son at the wedding. And he's like just quiet and meandering, and it's not really funny, and the son just has to stand there. It was weird. For me, the absolute most horrific one had to be Nicole Kidman and Ewan McGregor for Best Picture. That was just shocking to watch two people who are well-regarded actors with a lot of good work behind them just face plant and lose some teeth on the fucking asphalt, metaphorically. That was painful. But
you know what I think they need to do, Thomas?
Start over, take the entire award show, strip it apart, and rebuild it into something brand new.
Start back at one. Forget the 98.
99 and 100.
Just start back at one. Let's remember that this is about the arts, not individual personalities. That's what they need to get back to. They need to get back to the basics. Quit highlighting actors and start focusing and highlighting the movies that are nominated.
Yeah.
For example, rather than having poor Bill Pullman and his son
struggle.
Yeah, struggling through a joke that was written for them.
Was it a joke even?
Who knows? Yeah. Start highlighting your films. Start showing some behind the scenes things. When you talk about how great Sinners is, why not show how they did certain things? Little quick 30-second vignettes that show a behind the scenes moment. How they constructed a set, how they did the makeup, how the cinematographer put together the look with the gaffer and the director. Really quick 30-second segments for each of your movies. Start highlighting the art and enough with the individual personalities. Nobody cares.
Well, the thing that's sad is kind of like,
this isn't the era of the actor anymore either. No. Meaning people don't really care about the actors. They like them on screen, but I think most of us can agree that there are a lot of people who just are not into these actors anymore.
No. Well, the frustrating thing too, Mike, is like the industry itself, there has been like a major push to actually put like the stuff that we're talking about into effect. You know, let's focus on the cinematography. Let's show the work done by these, by the people behind the scenes. And I'm like watching the Oscars and I'm watching last year and I'm like going, there's a lot of bullshit that I'm hearing because you're saying that we should actually celebrate the editors, all the editing.
But you don't see any of the work.
But you don't see any of the work.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it's so fucking stupid.
When they got to the best editing, I was like going, can you show us some clips of the editing? Can you show us at least some of the editors, for God's sake?
You think they would to some degree, because who is watching the Oscars other than people who love movies?
Yeah.
Therefore, all of us nerds. Yeah, there's going to be the pop culture and the fair weather people, of course.
Yeah.
But the people who really care, who are going to be there year after year, is the idiots in this room who keep watching these things for less and less actual content about movies and more grandstanding from people who aren't funny in real life. Like, it's just, it's painful. Cause I remember back in the day watching the Oscars and getting those little snippets, those little vignettes. You would have the best actors called out one at a time and you'd get a little clip from their movie that you would get to see a great scene or a great performance moment. Didn't have to be long, but you got to see something that would allow you to kind of make a judgment call on what you at least in the moment think should win from those little samples had you seen none of the movies.
Imagine if you had Ryan Coogler, 60-second vignette, where he's talking about how he made the decision and why he made a decision to use IMAX cameras and to change the aspect ratio.
Exactly.
And explain what that means. People are interested in that. Even people who may not think they are, they do find those types of things interesting.
People do like to learn.
That's why they put behind the scenes videos and specials in Blu-rays and DVDs since the dawn of the disc, because people were interested in those things. Why not have Paul Thomas Anderson talk about one of his most talked about scenes, which is the ending, that highway scene, the hilly moment. Why did he come up with that? What was he trying to evoke?
Something.
Talk about the art.
Talk about
the art. And the sad thing is, like you said, it used to be on DVDs and Blu-rays, which I know for, you know, the kids out there is physical media that most people don't remember. But even then, YouTube, before, during, and after the Oscars, is often inundated with video essays of people breaking this stuff down in 5 to 30 to hour-long videos talking about all this stuff. People like to learn if you give them an opportunity to do so. That's what human species has always done. There's brain rot and that's problematic and you have to work past that. But if you give them something that's actually interesting, some of them will want to pay attention and learn a little bit more. And it's a shame because this is supposed to be like the entry point for the average Joe to get into Hollywood. And instead it's the entry point to get lambasted for your viewpoint or just talked down to or watch horrifically cringy moments to get to snippets that you could just wait on the couch, check Twitter, and see a little clip about who won and what their speech was.
If this is the type of show they will continue to put on once this goes to YouTube permanently, dude, they're going to be skewered. They're going to be turning off the comments.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised I haven't already.
Can you imagine anyone on YouTube really being interested in this schlock?
No.
No.
In the actual production of the Oscars? Who?
Yeah. It's sad because it takes away all of it. It's very much Hollywood's problem right now of pay attention to me rather than we are here to make art and talk about art and share that. There was this period of time, however briefly, where people actually gave a fuck about what was being made, how it was being made, what it had to say. And now we're just trapped in this miasma of pay attention to me. This is my 30 seconds to say something. And, oh yeah, also there's movies here, but that's not really relevant. It's a shame. The most you get is the speeches by the award winners after the fact. And even then you have to take out, and rightfully so, they give their thanks. But you have to once you take out all the thank yous and listen to what they actually say, you get a little bit of behind the scenes or a little bit of the effort and the work that went into something. Like the woman who had won for Golden, whose name I don't know off the top of my head, but having a moment talking about working on this production over the years, being made fun of as a kid for liking this stuff, and now it's winning an Academy Award. Like, those are the stories we want to hear about. Exactly. Not Bill Pullman cringe crawl through some fucking disaster, like watching someone hands on knees go through glass. You're like, God damn, just stop. You're killing yourself. It's painful.
These people, dude.
And they just keep going.
I feel bad for them because
it's not their fault. It's not.
They live. Okay. I'm not going to talk down to all actors, but there is something that most people, we've worked with actors.
Yes.
They are a sensitive bunch, and that's okay.
They are.
It's part of the job.
But these actors are very insulated in Hollywood. They probably don't even realize how bad it looks. So yes. The job.
No one tells them the truth.
The job of the agent and the managers are to protect them.
No, yes. Baby, you were great. It was perfect. You're a star. And then off on the side, they're like, Jesus Christ, I got to work on this now.
Yeah. If I was their agent, the Pullman's agent, I would be writing
apology cards?
By resignation.
In a gift basket?
I've been writing a complaint to the Oscars. Who wrote the shit that you wanted my client to say? Wrote this shit?
I don't know, man. But good Lord. Maybe it was ChatGPT. I could see that.
Oh, don't even
I could
there.
Absolutely see that this year.
It would
explain
scary.
The pain beyond most things.
Oh.
But enough bitching and moaning. We have more of that to come, but let's get into the actual awards. What won? We'll knock out a couple easy ones, I think. Starting with best visual effects. This one went to Avatar. We were all in agreement. This was its to lose. It was head and shoulders above the rest. I don't think there's anything really much to talk about there. I think the biggest question mark with Avatar is A, will 4 and 5 ever get made? And B, will the plot ever move forward?
Oh,
you know, hey, I've watched
it's
them
true.
All.
It's true.
But it is. We have been in the same true. Spot since hour two of the first movie.
Pretty much.
So, you know, but kudos. It is definitely the best visual effects and it rightfully deserves that. I think another easy one, makeup and hairstyling went to Frankenstein. That was another one that we had a little bit of talking about, like maybe something else might get it, but that was obviously the grandstanding winner in that category. Another one, production design, also went to Frankenstein.
Yep.
Rightfully so, well-deserved. I was a little surprised that Marty Supreme walked away with jack shit this
big
year.
Big old goose egg.
You know,
especially editing. I was shocked with that one. That basically, I get it. One battle after another does have really good editing. But Marty Supreme, we talked about it in the last show. That's their bread and butter.
What's that saying? Art or life imitates art. Or he didn't win the ultimate prize.
You know what? That's
Supreme.
True. That is true.
Here it is again.
Well, and I said this in the last episode, that there's always that one movie that gets a ton of nominations but walks away with nothing. Banshees of Inisherin, The Holdovers.
We were thinking it might be Sinners.
Well, I thought it might be Sinners. We thought that Frankenstein might get kind of snubbed.
Yeah.
But instead, I think the two absolute biggest losers was Marty Supreme and, unfortunately, our beloved Train Dreams walked away with its hat in its hands, much the same way in Train Dreams.
History will prove everyone wrong. So.
It often does.
Yeah.
I mean, the Academy Awards, if you go back over the years, the ones that win versus what is remembered by the public or fans of film and professors and critics alike is like a coin flip. It's 50-50 on how many things won versus what everyone liked, remembers, and thought should have. Shakespeare in Love, Annie Hall, things that should have lost to Saving Private Ryan, Star Wars. You know, it happens quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I think, I agree. I think Marty Supreme not getting anything for at least editing seemed kind of shocking, because with the amount of effort that had to go into some of the editing of these movies, Marty Supreme and F1 in particular, and even Sinners to get some of the much talked about sequence of the continuous camera through the dancing scene, is a hell of a lot more than I would have ever thought would have given one battle after another the leg up there. That was a little surprising to me, I'll be honest. Another easy one, costume design goes to Frankenstein. This one, I think the only one that we kind of talked about maybe was Sinners, and Marty Supreme had the time period element, but it takes a lot more like design all these costumes for Frankenstein, whereas Avatar was completely digital for the most part.
The wins that Frankenstein got, yeah. I mean, those are expected.
And
totally makes sense.
Deserved. By the time that Frankenstein started racking up best production design, best makeup, best costume, I started actually thinking it was nominated for best picture, but it's really glaring that, okay, you mean to tell me that basically all it scored well in all of these, but you're going to actually keep Guillermo del Toro out of best directing.
That still is shocking.
And it's weird because it's like, you know, if it really did well in all these aspects, del Toro should actually have been nominated. And that's the way I felt after everything, especially after it started winning.
Yeah, that one still feels just mean, truthfully, more than anything else, that just kind of a snub. But again, that does happen. But I think with Frankenstein, there was a couple years ago where that, I don't remember off the top of my head, but that happened too, where there was another movie that had all these nominations, but nothing for director. And it just felt like kind of a middle finger to that individual. I can't remember the exact movie right now. I'd have to go back and look, but that does seem to be something that just unfortunately kind of does happen. Now, we talked about visuals, makeup, production, costume. All those things seemed pretty easy to give it to. I'll just jump to the one that I want to talk about for a minute, which is the screenplays. Best adapted screenplay. I said before that One Battle After Another would be the one that I'd be like, God damn it. Like the one that I had the least invested, least hope would win, because I felt like everything else around it was that much stronger when it came to an actual adapted piece of media. Frankenstein is a great example. Train Dreams, or just unique like Begonia. I thought Hamnet and One Battle After Another were the weakest of the two, but as David so succinctly predicted, One Battle was the pride and joy, that and Sinners.
You did predict that one?
I too? Did predict that one.
He did.
Because yeah. I just had this gut feeling that for some strange reason they were going to do something.
Did he predict it or did he will it?
We don't know. You know what it really is? He's in on the voting.
Sometimes it's what Filipino it is.
And we've just
voodoo.
Never known.
Filipino voodoo. I'm going to put duct tape over your mouth next time. I'm not going to let you enchant the studio again.
You can be in the room. Just he will be tied to the chair and muted.
I will not let you utter your devilish spells.
I'm like the unlucky groundhog of Academy Awards. Oh,
God. Yeah, I mean, you, David, were more
your
for this one.
Reverse leprechaun at the end of your rainbow shit.
Oh, God. You were calling this one that one battle after another would probably win it. I mean, were you happy with that? Or were you just glad that you were right?
I was number one, I was glad I was right because it just proves me. It just proves my point about Hollywood. But honestly, I just really looked at it and said, nah, Paul Thomas Anderson is gonna be celebrated this time.
I personally am not mad about it.
I'm not mad about it, but I'm like going,
I like the movie.
Especially throughout the night, they kept making a point of actually pointing out, oh, Paul Thomas Anderson. Paul Thomas Anderson this, mm-hmm. Paul Thomas Anderson that. So he became like the go-to celebration point. I was originally thinking like, oh, they're going to do it on Ryan Coogler. But no, they focused solely on Paul Thomas Anderson, which was really strange.
Speaking of.
Yeah.
Off on original screenplay, Ryan Coogler wins for Sinners.
This is one I'm terribly sorry for. Because I did actually tell you guys, I wouldn't be surprised if Sinners won.
This is the worst part of the movie, is the writing.
It is.
That's why it's fucking bad. I would have been, even though I don't think it's great in terms of directing either, I would have been more okay with that.
Had it won any of the other things.
Because directing involves all types of things, which the movie did very effectively. I didn't care for the movie, as in like thinking it's groundbreaking in any way, but I found it entertaining. I liked it, and I wouldn't put my nose up at Coogler winning Best Director, but this one did irritate me because the biggest problem I had with this movie was the writing.
And dude, when they made the announcement, I did chuck a bottle.
Dude.
Because this is the one category I was like praying, hey, Hollywood, prove me wrong. Give it to Blue Moon.
I almost stopped watching. Because
we all know that Blue Moon's script is excellent.
I mean, do I need to point to the Filipino or the Asian woman and the Native American guy? I think they were a couple. Remember the one that that was obsessed with protecting her children?
Yes.
And then she just willy-nilly decides to jump.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And get herself killed. That's actually bad writing.
You know what's better than staying alive for my daughter so that she doesn't become an orphan? Killing myself in a batshit bonkers ineffective way that did and achieved nothing.
Yeah. Hey guys, we're going to.
There's no follow-up to that.
It hurts your soul. I know.
The vampires are trying to get into the barn.
In the barn.
We're inside now. Okay, let's run away now.
Yes. Because something scared us.
That's vampires.
I better put on my barbecue sauce cologne.
Oh, that's my biggest problem with scripts. And people may not always see this, but when you create obstacles for the sake of just moving the plot along, and there's not actual real logic involved in that movement, it's simply your way of saying, okay, we need to keep this moving. That's what Coogler's script had a lot of. It had a lot of, okay, let's just do this. It's not going to have any real bearing later, but let's just do this so we can move on.
Yep.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of the movie is like that. It's a sloppy script. I do not understand why on earth it gets Best Original Screenplay. Again, I think that's a lawsuit from Tarantino and I'm blanking on the name, but from Dusk Till Dawn, it's full on a ripoff. Like, you cannot convince me otherwise. So that alone pissed me off to the point I almost didn't watch the rest of it. Like, I'll just check the tweets and
is
I'll
it
check
a ripoff shorts. Or is it just postmodern pastiche?
Same thing.
It's not really, but.
And I thought the fact that Blue Moon didn't get the absolute recognition it deserved for being the best screenplay is pain.
I know.
But we're here now, so that's something. Sinners, speaking of that one, did go on to win for Best Cinematography. And this one I was kind of okay with that. I thought it did look great, and there's a lot of cool things that were done and choices that were made with that one, so I didn't have an issue with that. I did think that Train Dreams, though, this is where I thought Train Dreams would have had the best argument or the best chance of winning, because it is just so fucking beautiful. And the fact that it got no attention really does sting. Like, on a total nerd I'm going to remember this and no one else is going to care kind of level. That really did feel like a shame. Not that Sinners was a bad movie when it came to the cinematography, but Train Dreams is just so fucking good, and it doesn't get anything. And unfortunately, Sinners will go on to be remembered probably quite fondly for many, many years.
Do you think there was a gender and race bias, like maybe even unconsciously? And I don't even want to necessarily push that type of argument forward. However, what is the deciding factor when you watch a movie that looks as beautiful as Train Dreams and a movie that's as beautiful as Sinners? How do you make your decision? Is it, well, both these movies score really high. Yeah. However, this one is a woman who shot it and she's a person of color. So do you see people possibly doing that, saying, well, so I'm going to go with this one because,
you know, the cinematographer for Train Dreams was Adolfo Veloso, is a Brazilian cinematographer. So I don't know if the race one would play necessarily a full card.
They're white adjacent,
but there is that element depending on things. I don't know, man. I think it certainly could. I hate to
bring that type of stuff up, but do you think?
I think it's less that. Truthfully, I think it's less that.
Yeah, and I don't want to say that because I don't want to take away from her achievement, because that is an achievement.
It is an achievement. And she did a great job.
Yes, there's no...
But it's like I would give one an 8 and one a 10 out of 10, you know? But I think it's more an element of they didn't have... And I still don't think they even have to watch all the movies to vote.
Wait, what?
They don't have to watch all the movies to vote. Yeah. They never have.
They never have.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think it's simply a matter of everybody went and saw Sinners, and then of this list, they probably didn't think about Train Dreams at all.
You should not be allowed to vote.
Exactly.
If you didn't watch all the movies. What the fuck?
Yeah. So I think it was simply Sinners, Frankenstein, Marty Supreme, one battle after another.
So we actually watched. We actually have...
Correct. Yes, correct.
You are correct, Mike.
We are standing higher than them when it comes to analysis, and we have a better idea of what should win than the actual.
And that's why we're often wrong.
That vote.
That's why and that's the thing. I just think if you look at these five movies, and if you're just the average celebrity who's voting on these, I think your first choice, with everything everyone's talking about, you were going to watch Sinners and you were going to watch one battle after another. And if you were lucky, they would watch Frankenstein. I think Marty Supreme wasn't going to get watched. And I think Train Dreams was by far the least likely to be watched by the people who voted for these.
Oh, easily. Yes.
And I think it's one of those where it's not that she did a bad job.
This isn't a real award show then.
No, it's not. It's a popularity contest. And a political campaign, because there is advertising for campaigning for the winners.
Yeah, that I'm okay with, but
I fucking hate that. But that's,
well, yes, it's, but unfortunately, that's just part of the life process when it comes to these award shows. A little bit of campaigning, but
so I think it's simply that no one saw Train Dreams by comparison to Sinners.
Well,
it's fucking awful.
I hate to throw this out there, but it wouldn't surprise me. The stuff that Mike was bringing up was like, do you think they made the choice of this based on the gender, based on like what the movie was basically touted as? I hate to say it, but seeing Sinners win gave me the vibes of Green Book back in 2018, when everyone under the sun was like going, why did Green Book win? And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, it's because of what the story was about. You have a black actor, you have a black director, and I hate to say it, because so much noise has been made the last 5 years of how African Americans are not as celebrated at the Academy Awards for some strange reason, I started getting the vibes of it, of, you know, Sinners do getting that type of recognition during this year, especially when it won best screenplay. I'm sorry, we have gone in ad nauseum of how that script is weak. Why the hell was it nominated? It didn't deserve to be nominated.
Campaigning.
And that's the thing. It's campaigned by social media and basically the power of basically.
Well, they also popularity. Run ads and trades. And yeah. There's a lot of things going on.
And when you throw in the fact that basically what Thomas just brought up, Mike, where it's kind of like the Academy Awards, everyone knows a lot of those voters don't watch a lot of the things.
Don't watch most of them.
Okay, so I pulled up the rules here because this I'm familiar with. Academy voters do not need to watch all films because voting rules focus only on the nominees and the categories each member chooses to vote on, not every film released that year. So the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has structured a process for voting on Oscars. Historically, voters were encouraged to watch as many films as possible, but it was not mandatory to see every nominee for categories outside their branch or specialty.
Right.
Many branches, like actors or directors, initially voted within their specific field, so members would focus on films relevant to their expertise.
But do you think with Sinners and all the pomp and notoriety that it had behind it, between the campaigning for it to get best original screenplay and the people who, again, low effort watching it, they're probably going to watch Sinners over everything else that was nominated. That was the easy one to watch. It's the most popcorn flick one as well.
So here's one last bit of information. So recent changes have made it mandatory for voters to confirm they have watched all nominated films in a specific category before casting a final vote. So if you want to vote in, let's say, for cinematography, you have to confirm that you've watched every one of those movies. So you can't just vote for the one you like. You have to actually confirm you watched all of them.
So one, that is recent change. I think they only did that in the last year or two, because I remember the news about that. Yes. I was like, finally put that kind of element in. And
because people,
if the world in the last 2 years has taught us anything, it's that you can just fucking lie.
Yeah. Well, also says the system operates partly in an honor system. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's no honor in Hollywood.
There's no fucking honor.
There's no honor.
What is happening?
Who made
these rules?
See, Mike, you have too much optimism.
I'm going to go in there and change the rules.
You have too much optimism, Mike.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Come to my side.
So I think cinematography is not that it's not deserved. It absolutely is deserved, but it's not as the strongest contender, but I don't think anyone saw the strongest contender.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Moving on to a couple other easy ones. Best sound went to F1. The only thing it walked away with, but I was thankful that it did. I think that was fair.
We called that one.
Right? We did agree with that one, that was like the easy choice for that. And then best casting went to One Battle After Another. Again, that had the star studded lineup. I don't remember exactly what we said with that one, but I'm not surprised by that one.
That was this is the first year for that category too, I believe.
I think that's new.
Best casting is a brand new category.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is the first one, and it goes to One Battle After Another. That's an interesting category, because I would like to know what does that entail?
I'm like, is that just... Because that sounds like best actor, decide? Almost.
Yeah, how do you decide best casting?
Because to me, casting is you picked the right people for this role. We also call that best actor and actress.
Maybe like synergy?
Maybe.
Let's say
overall.
Because
you also have in that category, you had Hamnet, Marty Supreme, The Secret Agent, and Sinners. I mean, honest to God, of those, I would say Sinners and maybe Marty Supreme.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. Also, they're very vague on
the fuck that even means.
The AMPAS describing the award of the casting director. All they say is casting directors play an essential role in filmmaking. And as the Academy evolves, we are proud to add casting to the disciplines that we recognize and celebrate.
How the fuck?
And yet still no stunt category.
Exactly, dude. Nothing for stuntmen.
Well, part of that, which isn't really talked about too often, so I figured why not share it here. Most of the pushback is because of how things are categorized in your scheduling and budgeting. Stunt people are technically actors. So you start creating issues and problems.
Then just fucking change that. Oh my God, wow.
But that changes a lot, though. When you change above the line to below the line, you start creating a lot
just
of issues.
Just make a line parallel to the fucking line.
Listen.
It's not hard.
Hollywood bureaucracy, okay?
Exactly.
It's there for a reason.
To fuck everything up. to get away with putting cocaine on the budget under C-47.
Babylon, Thomas. Remember Babylon.
C-47.
You know what I'm fucking talking about.
Clothespins.
Exactly. Because no one wants to pay for clothespins, but if you say it's C-47 units times 1,000... Oh, okay. Whatever that is. I don't know. I'm a producer or an executive producer.
Jesus Christ. I haven't heard C-47s in a long fucking time.
I know you fucking haven't. That is the thing. It's not hard to fix things. We just make it fucking stupid.
Well, I think there are union things as well involved in that. Like, you can't just change the category of a stunt person without some union pushback. So there's a lot of things. They can do it. They just got to work together to figure it out.
You're saying that they're different because they're considered actors, right?
When it comes to how they are scheduled.
Right.
Yes. And that's all based on union.
Right. What I'm saying is we have categories for actor and actress. So why don't you just add stuntman? Why the fuck is that hard?
Listen, I agree.
I know you do. I'm just talking to the wind right now, but
I just don't know if Hollywood agrees that it's that easy.
No, Hollywood probably can't not.
Change.
Hollywood doesn't want to change the way they do things. That's a lot of it is
the world doesn't want to change the way they do things. And that's why we're in the situations we're in right now. But anyway, another couple easy ones. Best original score that went to Sinners. I'm fine with that. That was well deserved, I think. And then best original song went to Golden from K-pop Demon Hunters. Very happy about that one.
Yes.
I thought that was absolutely deserved and one of the best parts of that movie is the music. Absolutely. So happy to see that get some recognition. And it made history by winning best animated feature. So that's very cool. I'm happy that I got at least one of these correct.
Oh, it did win. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, K-pop Demon Hunters won Best Animated Feature Film. So that I was happy to see. I think that was well deserved as well.
What was the drama behind that? There was drama behind how they were treated. Did you hear about this?
I don't know all of it, so I can't speak to it truthfully. But I know there was some stuff between like deals of like who was involved with it versus like who actually got like credit after the fact.
Okay.
I'd have to look into it to give full details, but I know there is some. Then let's see. We have the actors and actresses. Best supporting role, best actress, Amy Madigan. None of us picked her.
No, but this was actually a very pleasant surprise, honestly.
I had my problems with Weapons. I'm tired of narratives that just can't be straightforward.
Also, we're going to show the same thing from 75 different perspectives.
Also, I hate the fact point. That people have stated that Weapons is the best horror movie of the year, which I'm like going, no.
Weapons is entertaining, and I Weapons did like is, it quite a yeah, bit.
But it's not the best horror movie.
No,
guys,
Amy Madigan, I'm going to do what a lot of people don't want to do. Okay? I'm going to be a dickhead. Amy Madigan won the award because she's just being crazy. I am tired of awarding people just because how maniacal and malevolent can you become? This is just Joaquin Phoenix. This is just Heath Ledger on repeat. I agree that both men should have been recognized, but there's also a problem and a pattern in movies and the way we fans as well as critics celebrate a performance. It's always the far out erratic performances now that get attention.
Yes.
And those to me, yes, they're award worthy and they are worthy of recognition. But let us not forget that it is easier. Many actors have said this as well. It is easier to be maniacal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot harder to be recognized for playing something straight laced.
Yeah, it is. But again, guys, if you go by the popularity contest, the best restaurant is McDonald's.
Yeah, I know. I hate life.
Bud Light and McDonald's. That's where we're at in a lot of things. I mean, I also think there's an element, and this is going to be, quote, ageist, but there's an element of how many more times is she going to get nominated over the years? And those kind of, oftentimes they will say, we're going to give this to someone who's, this is their last opportunity rather than this is the best example. Because I do think that Wunmi Musako was...
She should have won.
She should have fucking won that.
That was a real performance.
That was a great real performance. Yeah. And
straight. Short. And straight. Meaning it wasn't... It's
more subtle, yeah.
Yes. It wasn't erratic and crazy. She was level-headed.
But
it
also
was
a real person.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was a shame. So this is... It's one of those where I'm like, I'm not exactly against the winner, but I'm like, really? Like, okay. I think there was a much stronger contender in there. But, you know... Chad of the Night, best actor in a supporting role, goes to Sean Penn for one battle after another. He's not even there.
He's gangster.
Dude, yes. That was funny when you sent that message that you're like, he's not even at the freaking awards show.
Dude, I love it. In my mind, this is what happened. He was at home by himself, drinking whiskey in his boxers, watching himself win an award. And he's not even there to accept it.
So that's why I cracked up when people were like angry that he didn't show up. And it's like,
well, okay, but here's the thing.
Wait a minute.
The guy has been nominated 6 times and won 3. I think he's okay to stay home.
And also, I think it's, I don't always agree with Sean Penn's politics, but I agree with his commitment.
Yeah.
The fact that he chose something important and real world in a time when things are fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And he chose to set aside a little award show ceremony where you're going to get a little pat on the back. He knew he had he had high chances to win. And what did he do? He chose to go live by his own words and put something more important ahead. I can appreciate that.
I respect the put your money where your mouth is element of that. Standing by what you claim to believe in. All right. Touche. Fair enough.
Yeah. Rather than, you know, shouting out slogans, he's actually fucking living it.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I was a little sad to see that Jacob Elordi didn't get it for Frankenstein. I think that was the one that I would have really loved to see because I think he did a great job as the monster.
But I'm not mad.
I'm not mad. Because I do like Sean Penn. If you're going to lose, losing to Sean Penn's not so fucking bad. Best actress. I was happy about this one. Jessie Buckley for Hamnet, which I thought she had a great performance in a movie that was only half good.
Yeah, you and me both.
Again, the second half is way stronger.
Yeah, on the same night and same weekend where one of her movies hits a box office wall. The Bride.
Well, you know, they can't all be winners.
I think she's okay with the silver lining. Bad review for a movie, and then I win an award for another movie.
Yeah. You know, everyone has...
I think that's her, right? In The Bride?
Yes. Yeah. You have your Academy Award, and then you have your raspberries, you know? Yin and yang. You can't know the sweet taste of victory without the bitter taste of defeat. But I was happy about that. I thought she did a great job. I thought that was the most compelling performance out of the best actresses because it was the one that felt the most like raw, real, true to human life. And that's something that art used to imitate instead of just pander about. So I was happy for that one. And David, you said you were as well.
I was too. I mean, when we were talking about it, calling our predictions, me and you both said that she does kind of deserve this nomination, if not the win.
Yeah, I didn't care for the movie, but that doesn't mean I'm going to poo-poo on the performances because they were good.
It was funny, though, listening to her acceptance speech took me right back to my great uncle because she's Irish and my family is Irish and he was from Ireland, lived there, and hearing heart and art pronounced the same way just made me like, oh, great Uncle Jim. I remember those days. Like, that was a fun little walk down memory lane for me. Best actor went to Michael B. Jordan for Sinners. Now, this was one where I think we were all kind of like, as mean as this sounds, as long as it wasn't Wagner Moura for The Secret Agent, I think we were all going to be okay with it.
Yeah.
Well, I said I would be. But the more that I started watching the Academy Awards and I got to this is the moment that I basically wanted to turn off the Academy Awards.
So you were mad with Michael B. Jordan winning?
At the end of the day, yeah, because I started actually thinking about it, Mike. I started thinking about, everyone says, well, he played two roles, David, as twins. And I'm like,
he does.
And he also played a role in Black Panther.
He's played other characters.
Playing two characters in a movie at the same time isn't magic.
It's, thank you. Because I was like, that's what I was like going.
Yes. I would counter argument, devil's advocate. It's a lot harder to play against nothing than it is to play against another actor. Because there are a lot of scenes where he's talking to effectively himself, which means he's talking to no one.
I don't have a problem with Michael B. Jordan winning. I believe I said I'd be okay with it during our last show. I think he's an accomplished actor who's come a very long way in his career. And he's become someone who champions movies. He has an objective mind. He doesn't play in the political muck. He's professional. He's a lot like Timothée Chalamet and Tom Cruise in that regard. They're about the craft. They're about the business.
I was okay with him winning this. I think the only one that I would have maybe liked to see or would have thought could have won was Ethan Hawke for Blue Moon. Yeah. That movie lives and dies entirely on him. And I think that much like...
He should have won.
He should have won. Much like Train Dreams is completely overlooked and snubbed, which is a shame because it is great writing and a great performance by an actor who is the movie. Now, again, a lot of the ways Michael B. Jordan is kind of the movie for Sinners in many respects. So, again, I was like, I'm not against this one. I'm fine with it. He did a good job. And like you said, he actually cares about acting and the craft and his agent sometimes gives him stinkers, but he'll have like an absolute turd and like a great movie within a couple of years. It's interesting.
He does that thing that kind of a joke now in Hollywood. You do the safe movie.
One for the meal, one for the real.
Yeah, that's kind of what he does. He'll do a movie that you can tell he really wants to make, and then he does something for a paycheck.
Yeah, like Black Panther
and then
Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that one was just not nearly as good as the book. But, you know, it's also a hard thing to do. So, but I was all right with that. So then we go on to Best Directing. This one, I wasn't like against it necessarily, but I felt it wasn't my favorite choice. It goes to Paul Thomas Anderson for One Battle After Another. For me, this was a resounding meh. But then again, that movie was a resounding meh. So for me, personally.
I was okay with it. I liked the movie. I liked Paul Thomas Anderson. That's what a lot of people have been saying. In fact, when I was on social media, I was going through social media during the Oscars, and that's one common theme I kept seeing pop up. A lot of people were saying, yeah, One Battle After Another is a very good movie, and it's about time Paul Thomas Anderson gets recognized. But he should have won this award for his three prior movies, is what they were saying, like, which are much better films, is what a lot of people were saying.
And I think that's why I really got irked when people were saying, when you have like people saying, oh, One Battle After Another is his masterpiece. And I'm like going, no. He's getting this. It really feels like when you look at the category and everything, this was basically the Academy saying, we're going to celebrate him. That's it.
I think his movie is culturally relevant in that it's trying to say something.
But it's not a masterpiece, though.
Mike. No, but also that probably goes into, I think
many people
probably take that into consideration as well. You know, like Magnolia and There Will Be Blood.
Are 20 years old plus.
Yeah.
People don't remember that, unfortunately.
I get what you're saying, though, Dave.
It definitely feels more like this was for work previously rather than this exact
Which
work.
Which does happen sometimes. Which
Guillermo del Toro, I think, for Shape of Water was an example of that. I don't think that's his strongest film, but it's what he got the award for.
Yeah.
So Scorsese is a great example of that, you know. So it does happen. I think that there were... I don't know. It's like I wasn't really... enthralled with a lot of the directing, I guess, in this category. But, you know, what can you say? Before we get to Best Picture, there was a little hiccup, which I think we all thought was weird. Best of all categories, Best Live Action Short Film has a fucking draw between The Singers and Two People Exchanging Saliva, which, I mean, good Lord, what is this, an anime title? But has that ever happened? I just want to talk about that real quick.
Two people exchanging saliva? No. Yes.
when two people love each other very much. No, the draw. Has that happened before?
I don't think I've ever seen that happen.
I don't remember that.
When it happened, I was hearing that it did.
Is that allowed?
That it did happen in history. And I wasn't sure about it because I didn't actually fully research it. But I did hear that people say that it has happened one or twice. In the Academy history. I don't know if it's true or not.
So a quick search. In 2013, best sound editing went to Skyfall and Zero Dark Thirty. In 95, it was another live action short film for two movies that no one knows. There was a best documentary feature was shared in 1987.
But it's one of those moments.
There's that
how the hell do you have a draw at an awards ceremony where you're supposed to be celebrating the best?
Was that really? Do you think there was an actual dead even amount of votes?
That's the thing.
That feels weird.
Well, it have to be.
It doesn't have to be. But that's the thing. I'm like going.
Is the voting secure?
Probably not. Like, honest to God, probably not.
You're touching on something, Mike. You're touching on something.
Because this isn't like politics and people's lives are in jeopardy. If I was in control of that, I would change all of the voting. I'd be like, yeah, I don't agree with this one. If I was in charge, I wouldn't do that. That's not real corruption. Like, who's it hurting?
What did that person vote? Oh, no.
One battle after another. Best picture. Nah. Trade dreams. Oh, look. Can you do a write-in ballot? I'm going to put...
All the handwriting on all these ballots is the same.
Ethan Hawke, best screenwriting. Ethan Hawke, best casting. Ethan Hawke. Just start writing. Whatever.
Just one of them says whatever. It's a wild card. Like an Uno free card. All right. So, best picture. Shocking... No one, disappointing many, one battle after another wins for best picture.
You know what? With the group of movies we have, obviously I'd want Train Dreams to win.
Yeah. Yes.
But maybe I just wasn't as invested as you guys were emotionally in this. I honestly, and maybe it's because I also enjoyed that movie, one battle after another. Mm-hmm. When they announced, I was like, okay, that was okay. I mean, were you guys really passionately against it?
Well, here was the thing. I started getting passionately against it because, like, when you started seeing, like, Frankenstein racking in those awards, I started thinking, okay, if they rack up these awards, Frankenstein deserves to actually get that push for Best Picture. If that's the case. Especially if it got a nomination for Best Supporting. We all know that Del Toro should have been nominated for Best Directing.
That was
everyone
the big
under the
miss.
Sun.
Yeah.
And then it gets nominated for Best Picture. So Frankenstein, when it started winning, I was like going, okay, Frankenstein could win this one.
I thought it might with the not getting a nomination for director, but it maybe would win Best Picture.
That's happened before.
I thought that was a chance.
I would have been happy with that.
That would have been great. For me, it's more of an element of, it's not that it's a bad movie, but it doesn't appeal to me. It didn't seem any wildly different. It seemed very long and boring in a lot of respects. Like, it was just not for me. And I see it winning more as an element of what it is about and the time period rather than the quality of the movie itself compared to other nominees. Yeah. And so for me, I'm not like bent out of shape, but I am disappointed because I don't think it was the best picture of the year. I think it was the biggest name, most push, biggest notoriety other than Sinners. But honest to God, other than maybe the writing, I probably would have preferred Sinners to this one winning Best Picture, because at least that one I thought was more entertaining.
Well, also to just throw this out there to add on to your point, Thomas, is like the way I've always told you guys, I see how the Academy should key term there, should look at the films is like the craftsmanship. Are you going to look at these films and study these, rewatch these in our industry time and time again?
The problem is, David, is that the criteria for valuation is different for everybody. If they were to give people a card, but how controlling do they want to be? If you were to say, hey, you know, you're voting on caliber, rigor, and intentionality.
People can't define those.
I hate to say it. Yeah.
Maybe if you were to create some stipulations, a criteria, then maybe we'd get more balanced choices.
But
is just based on popularity
and
whether or not you actually watched the movie in the honor system, then a lot of this is just asterisks now.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay,
it's just an asterisk. And that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I think that, I don't know about you guys, but I have at least been in one film contest as a judge. I think if anybody's ever been any kind of judge in any kind of contest whatsoever, from the Academy Awards to the best, you know, Easter Bunny drawing in first grade, a lot of people go with, I like this one. And that's it.
Yeah.
There is no, oh, look at the effort that went into this costume, or look into how the story came together, or look into the, you know, creativity of this, or the technical achievement. No, it's just, this felt right. I liked this one, and therefore that's what I voted for. And unfortunately, I think this is more an example of, this is what people wanted to or liked the most, and given Hollywood's intense opinion on current day politics and the subject material, this was going to win almost no matter what it was about, or no matter, not even what it was about, no matter its caliber or quality. And so for me, that's a little disappointing, because I think there are stronger contenders in this category. But I mean, yeah, frankly, is that not just every year? Truthfully. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those, it was an award show where David was absolutely right with a lot of these. I think we weren't necessarily surprised by a lot of these. I think it was more disappointed by a lot of these.
And maybe that's why I'm not so angry about all of this, because I think I might have been mentally prepared.
Congratulations.
Perhaps. For the worst.
Perhaps.
But I was maintaining some optimism. I thought I had seen a light, a dim light at the end of the tunnel.
You know what I will say, though? It is less painful than last year's, where Anora comes out of fucking nowhere. No one remembers it. Like we said, it won a bunch of the big fucking awards. Like, this one at least is something that I think people will remember beyond next year.
And I stand by what I said during our very first discussion for this year's Oscar coverage. For the most part, I enjoyed most of these movies.
Yeah.
Even the ones I had problems with and said, well, I don't know if that should have been nominated. I still enjoyed the movie. Mm-hmm. Even Secret Agent, I'm giving shit to it constantly because it's not great.
It's very boring,
but I didn't hate it. I'm just kind of having fun.
Yeah.
You know, and Hamnet, same thing. Like, Hamnet is a good movie for what they were attempting to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the positive side. Yes, the films that I had wanted to win didn't, but ultimately for me, I didn't really hate these movies. There were several films I really loathed the last several years.
Yeah. Last year especially was just a bunch of fucking stinkers.
These were easy watches for the most part, with the hiccup of like a 3-hour bore fest.
Right. So, I mean, compared to last year, I think last year I liked maybe like two of the fucking movies.
I'm
like,
trying to actually bring up
Anora, The Brutalist, Complete Unknown, Conclave, Dune Part 2, Amelia Perez, I'm Still Here, Nickel Boys, The Substance, and Wicked. I think I liked 3.5 of those.
Substance.
The Substance.
Part 2 was awesome.
Dune Part 2 is amazing.
Dune Part 2 is good.
Conclave I enjoyed, but it wasn't anything like...
It was good.
I liked it, but
there was a few that you can get excited about.
Wicked, I thought the first one was solid.
Yeah.
And A Complete Unknown I didn't hate, but I didn't think it set the world on fire. But everything else, I was like, good God, I don't care.
Did we already talk about in our first discussion about how happy we were that Wicked for Good got nothing?
We did not.
Because I am so glad. There were people that were like crying when the nominations were announced.
Especially for best music.
And like, how could this not be considered for an award? It cleaned up last year for all those nominations. And I'm like, well, because that was a good movie.
Exactly.
The first one was good.
Another reason we said it should have been one movie.
Yeah.
One movie, I think Wicked would have cleaned up. I honestly think it would have done really well.
They didn't even get a single nomination. Did they even get recognized from any award show?
Nope.
Nothing.
Yeah, the movie wasn't good.
Well, and everyone says the first half of the play, the first 2/3, whatever the act break is the good part where all the good songs are. The end is always been, from the original book to the play to the movie now,
The weakest element.
And why you would think, hey, I've got this great piece and this broken turd, I should separate these and hope they make just as much money as opposed to reframing it into one fucking solid piece. I'll never know.
Yeah.
Other than greed.
That's what it's about, money. Yeah.
I think greed is the hubris that brought that down.
Well, look at the movie we've been waiting for like 3 years now. Spider-Man Into the
Something Verse.
Whatever the second third one's called. Is. Like the second and third one were never supposed to be separate movies. They were going to be one movie, and then halfway through production, no, the movie was done. And they decided to split them.
Split it.
And now we're waiting 3 years for the next one for a movie that was already finished.
Well, and it's all, there's no way it's going to be as good because the second one,
my problem with the second one is that it's incomplete.
It's incomplete.
There was a period of time where there was a bunch of movies that had a first installment that's solid and complete, and then a second installment that had a bullshit cliffhanger, and then a third installment that tried to do too much and kind of fell apart. That happened a lot in the mid-2000s. Mm-hmm. That is what this Spider-Man movie is going to do.
It's once again people seeing puzzle pieces but not quite understanding how they go together, because you can do what these people are attempting to do. It's called Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
You give us a complete movie, but also, wait, there's more.
Exactly.
No one... It's shocking how few people have ever learned that lesson correctly. But...
Because I've heard Kathleen Kennedy defend... the new sequel, saying, the first movie starts things up. The second movie is a bridge. And the third movie is where we bring all of it to a close.
So
a
what happened?
To like, nowhere.
I understand your weird philosophy on film, which is weird because it's wrong and you're a producer. Yes, you could look at them that way. One starts things. The second is a bridge. That's the most rudimentary way to break down a trilogy. You could say that, and that very well is how they function. But the bridge still needs to function as a complete movie, as well as being a bridge. Anyways, I went on a tangent.
Well,
go in and close things. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I mean, it's another year of I don't know what I expected in some respects.
I give up.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
The year of 2026 for me is just of just fucking shrug. I'm like, give me what you got.
Just whatever.
Just make it good.
And I'm just going to, I'm not even going to get angry. I'm like, what? I'm ready for it now. I'm David. I'm a combination of David and a little bit of Thomas.
Well, that's a.
That's how I'm going to survive.
Sorry.
I'm really sorry about that.
But hopefully you got, those who have listened had some movies that they liked, won some of the categories you were hoping for, and that you didn't have as much disappointment perhaps as the people in this room did. But thank you all for listening. We'll see you at the movies next time, and we might see you at the Oscars. We may just make it a drinking game for next year at this fucking point. Who knows? But either way, we got through another one. Two more years, and we're at the 100th installment of the Academy Awards. I wonder if they're going to do anything or if they're going to completely bungle that. In 2 years' time, we'll see.
Oh, wait. Let me.
Oh, this happened to David.
I see Triangle of Sadness, too.
Oh Jesus, my God.
Triangle of Sadness.
You don't put triangle that evil on me.
Triangle of Sadness Square.
It's the Square of Sadness? Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. All right, that's going to do it here for us. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Hello, very nice to meet you. I'd like to know about sex change operations.
I see.
Cut. No good for sound.
Well, fucking hell, Lloyd.
Man, game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do?
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
I'll be back.